on Inside Black and Gold. There was a good number of comments in there. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss them, but I've got a bunch starred up there, and we'll see how many we can get through. But the first one I did need to throw up was Scout Without Clout. Always got comments. He says, I don't see it with Lobby. Lobby. I need to figure out how to say his name. I keep saying Lobby. I think it's like Lobby or whatever. I need to watch more UNH highlights. But he says, it reminds me of Max Borgie, which that's a new one for me. You know, it's a dart throw, right? You know, you're looking at a guy who you see traits with that you feel like you can develop and work with. And I do think that in the Clint Kubiak offense, you do want guys who are versatile. And you want more guys who are versatile. And I think he just does that for me. And part of it is I just, you know, he's a UNH guy. I like seeing these smaller school guys do well and get a chance. I think in most cases, that's what the Senior Bowl is about, right? You get some of the top end prospects. But the much bigger aspect of it is you put these smaller school guys on a field with bigger school guys. You know, maybe not the top end first round guys, but you got Ohio State, you got Alabama, right? You got LSU guys out there, and you get to see these players compete. And that's what stood out to me is you watch these guys play on the same field at the same level, actually compete with each other, which is something that doesn't happen at the combine or a pro day. And you're like, it's just an opportunity to be sit back and kind of say, okay, you know, that guy looks like he belongs here. That guy maybe not, but this guy does. And that's kind of how I came away from it with Lobe. So take it for what it is. I just, when I saw the way he played and what he was able to do, he stood out to me immediately. And so you see him get a visit with the Saints. And I think that's a good indicator that they saw the same thing. Either way, I appreciate it. And 992 RIS says, for a late round wide receiver, I really like Brendan Rice. I don't have a ton of insight on Brendan Rice, but I'll let that stand. If you have Brendan Rice takes, throw him in the chat and we can talk about him. Pelicans Nola here says, if we don't pick the best player available, that's how we ended up with Marcus Davenport, Peyton Turner, and Trevor Penning. All of them are reaches. See, I disagree with that because, you know, if you're not going best player available, you are typically just going with what the board tells you. And so when you trade up to whatever it was, 18, 15 for Marcus Davenport, that's not going best player available. That's going to get the guy you want on the board. Going best player available is typically going to be you sit in your draft slot and you let the board come to you, and whoever is the best player at whatever position, you're looking at it. Now, you know, when I talked to Matt Miller from ESPN, I asked him how he felt about that, and he kind of agrees. It's like best player available is kind of a myth. Because most teams, every team will say, hey, we're going to draft the best player available. But in most, if not all cases, you're really talking about, we're going to take the best player available at one of these two, three positions, right? Because need does have to factor in. It just does. You know, you're kidding yourself if you don't think that the Saints are looking at this draft the same way as everybody else, saying, there's a lot of tackles in there. A lot of tackles. And you look at your roster and you're like, we don't have a lot of tackles. And the ones we do are breaking. So, I mean, it's tough because, yeah, Brock Bowers is probably the best player available. When you talk about if he gets to 14, when you talk about the scouting, when you talk about, you know, the profile, the grade you have on him, I'm sure he's at the top of their list. But I just find it really, really difficult to do that. And you know, I wouldn't complain, right? Like, oh, the Giants drafted Saquon Barkley at number two. I think most Giants fans would be like, yeah, that was kind of dumb. They shouldn't have done that. But at the same time, everyone was excited. You were buying a Saquon jersey and he lived up to the hype. They sucked. He lived up to the hype. They sucked as a team. And that's not what you want to be. That's not where you want to be as a team. But at the same time, I think there is some value in getting the fans excited. And, you know, probably the only guy the Saints could pick in the first round that would legitimately have people lining up to go watch is Brock Bowers. So I don't know. Take that with a grain of salt. Do with that what you will. If their goal is to get people excited, then Brock is the guy. But again, it's really tough. You know, like, I think BPA is as a myth to some extent, and you'd be crazy to not try to fill your void, in my opinion, at right tackle in this first round, not necessarily at left tackle. You can draft a guy who could play either position. It's you don't want to pigeonhole them into saying, hey, this guy is definitely a right tackle, this guy's definitely a left tackle. If you can project to move, you can play both sides. But I find it really tough to see them getting out of this draft out of tackle. Either way, I appreciate the comment. And there's Justin Pasquale. He's saying the same thing, right? BPA at a position of need. And, you know, you can make the argument that the Saints need a tight end. Like, genuinely. Like, we talk about Juwan Johnson. I do like Juwan Johnson. I think that what you saw last year was maybe not the best reflection of what he should be able to do over the course of a season. You still have a former UDFA that you converted from wide receiver as your star tight end. And that's not, you know, like Adam Trautman was a third round pick. If you threw a third round pick at a tight end last year, you could have ended up with, Luke Musgrave. I think he might have gone late second round. Or you could have ended up with a Tyler Kroft. You could have ended up with a guy who had kind of elite traits, who had a top 75 grade at tight end on your roster that you're developing over time. Saints didn't do that. Saints avoided the tight end position entirely, which annoyed the hell out of me. But, you know, it also shows that they are not going to make their draft board based on, hey, all of these players at this really deep position are there. We got to go get one. Because if it was, they would have gone and got it last year. But I do want to see them add talent to that tight end room. And maybe that is what they do. Pelicans Nola says, Mickey Loomis, you have to give the Who Dat Nation something to get excited for with the number 14 pick. You know, and again, that goes back to, hey, if you want to get someone excited, like I'd love to hear anyone else's suggestion of who they could draft that would legitimately kind of electrify the fan base in a way that you haven't seen from a draft pick in the last several years. And I can't think of anyone other than that. I mean, obviously, if you traded up and went and got one of these top quarterbacks, maybe if they took a Michael Penix, then you could say, hey, there's some excitement there. But I do think that Brock is probably the only guy, if that's your goal. Let's see. Die92RAS again. Saints need to draft the best O-lineman they can with at least two picks. I don't hate that. I mean, I agree with that. If they went offensive tackle at 14 and 45, I don't think anyone would be like, ah, they're crazy. Why would they do that? But we'll see. If the best player is left tackle or right tackle, you got to take them. Agree. Scout Without Clout says, I hope it's J.C. Latham, right tackle, Alabama. And if you're still here, if you want to expand upon that. You know, I think that it's tough because there's so many. I think you're looking at 7 or 8 first-round tackle prospects. You know, in my mock draft, I got the 8th one when I traded back to 24, and that was Tyler Guyton. He's a fringe first-round pick, but I do think he's a first-round pick. But yeah, I mean, you could rank these guys any way you want. It's going to be different from team to team. It's going to be different from offense to offense. One offense needs your tackle to pull a lot more than the other. You need a bit more athletic profile. One is really interested in pass pro. So Fashanu is the guy that you're like, that's your gold standard. It's tough. J.C. Latham is kind of in the middle for me. I have a hard time gauging it. And it's always difficult for me to gauge Alabama offensive line talent because he's going to be surrounded by top-end offensive line talent. So it's kind of like an Ohio State player on offense. It's like, I don't know exactly how to gauge Marvin Harrison Jr. just because there's so much talent around him that does it make his life easier? Like, is he going to be a guy when he is the focal point of an NFL offense going to be able to stand out the way that he did in college? Same for an offensive lineman. It's kind of the inverse of the small school problem. Like, you watch Trevor Penning beat up on, you know, these like 240-pound defensive ends, not even 215-pound defensive ends at Northern Iowa. And you're like, okay, but is he good enough to project to the NFL level? And is his technique a big enough issue that it's going to take him multiple years to develop? And I think you've found out the answer to that. But it's kind of the opposite with Alabama because they're just bullying people all the time. But it's interesting. Scout Without Clout. Rice is a good deep threat for teams that miss on Brian Thomas. They might like him. I think we already have two deep threats, though. We probably get a slot wide receiver or a prototypical X. You know, Brian Thomas is interesting to me. I think Brian Thomas is a guy that the Saints, if they were drafting later in the first round, would seriously consider. I think he does a lot of the things you need your wide receiver to do. But I kind of see Brian Thomas as a different kind of deep threat as Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave. And I think he can do a lot more over the middle of the field. I think his size is a bit more impressive. He's got kind of that long stride speed as opposed to kind of that quick twitch speed that I would give to Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. So I would honestly think Brian Thomas if he was on the board at 45, he'd be really intriguing to me. I don't think he will be. But, you know, I don't know if you can ever have too many deep threats. I don't think you're going to look at the wide receiver position and say, we already got guys who can go downfield. We don't need to get another guy who can do that. It's more about, can they run the whole route tree? I'd also like to see you get a little more unpredictable with how you use Rashid Shaheed. So if you have another guy who can take on that role and you can shift Rashid into the slot and let him run more over the middle of the field and get involved in the screen game, and again, use that punt returner ability in space with some yards after catch, I would love to see it. Right now, I just don't think you have the personnel to do that. And so however you add a guy, I wouldn't hate some redundancy there. Mitchell Milano says he enjoyed the wood is insane major pause, which, not going to be mad at it. Here's another one from Scout Without Clout. Braden Fisk, Marshawn Nealand, Tavondre Sweat seem most realistic options in round two, all run stuffers. I agree. I think that this team became painfully aware in the 2022 season specifically that they had allowed the interior of the defense to disintegrate a little bit, to turn into a weakness as opposed to a strength, because they just hadn't drafted the position the way you had in the past, right? The way you look at guys in the second, third round, David Onyemata, right? They took a Sheldon Rankins at number 12 overall. It was a priority for this team. And then they kind of let it fester, and suddenly you're looking at David Onyemata and Shai Tuttle, an older David Onyemata, and they're just not getting the job done. And so you spent a first-round pick on Brian Bazee last year. I think that went a long way toward rebuilding that. But, you know, at 45, I wouldn't be surprised if you end up with Tavondre Sweat or Braden Fisk, or, you know, Marshawn Nealand would be a DN prospect, but, you know, you're still addressing the pass rush or the run defense in some way. And I just think this team understands that if they don't sort out the defensive line, they're not going to go very far. And this defense is just going to kind of corrode around everybody. So I agree. I think, like, there's a reason Steve and I both took Braden Fisk in our last mock, and it's because he just does the things that I think this team likes. But all right, let's wrap up this segment of Inside Black and Gold. This is our first live mailbag segment. We are going to come back with another segment to answer more questions. I know there's more comments in there, and we will be right back.